fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing today making our way through chapter 8 of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. There's so much here, we literally could be talking about this for the next few weeks. In fact, might carry over into next week, because there's clear words here that I just know the Lord wants you to be able to hear so that you can be encouraged. You can be encouraged and your heart can be set free from all that discourages you, all that oppresses you, any fears that you have. The Lord wants us to lay claim to what is ours, the treasure, the inheritance, the promises of God. And they're so beautifully revealed here in Romans chapter 8, God's love letter, the heart of God's love letter in some ways to you and to me. Yesterday, I left off in verse 25 of chapter 8, where Paul talks about, he's talking about hope, and we hope for things we do not yet see. And what we see, though, through faith is the person of Jesus Christ, risen, exalted at the right hand of the Father. And there's the promise, friends. There's the down payment. It's the person of Christ, our King, who has already accomplished in his flesh. This is why he became one of us, to do what none of us were able to do, that is to love the Lord God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, to fulfill everything that the Father commanded him to do. Really, that he shows us in his own life what it means to be human, what the destiny and the purpose of humanity is. It's so easily lost today. It's heartbreaking to see how often we just get consumed in the world and all our goals and all our pursuing all our crowns, and in the process forgetting God. I mean, we're made to use the creative gifts that God's given to us on earth to make the most of the time that we have here, but not for our glory and for our comfort, but for the glory of God, for love of God and love of neighbor, for building up the kingdom of God here on earth and using our talents with our hearts set free from the fear of the powers of sin and death, and our hearts filled with hope and confidence, knowing where our lives are headed. We're set free to be able to serve and to use all our talents for the sake of the good, to will the good for the human person, to be everything that we can be, not to be seeking my power, my money, my prestige, elevate myself above everyone else, my pursuit of my pleasure and all the rest. It's just the fallen world is everywhere around us. And too often the baptized get seduced right into it because we're so filled with our own fears of not making it, of not being accepted, of not being loved. We do all kinds of stuff to help ourselves feel better or to ensure that we are accepted. And we follow the line the world gives us about how we reach that, how we get there. And this letter can set us free so beautifully. And I was going to talk a little bit this week about using as an example of some of what St. Paul was talking about. He said, you know, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. He said, live by the Spirit, and if by the Spirit we put the deeds of the body, you will live. And he's got very concrete things in mind of how this new way of life, what's to characterize it, and to live in it, and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And one area that has been on my heart that I want to talk about, I'll talk a little bit about today, and maybe it'll carry over into next week, is the whole area of forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins, both extending and receiving forgiveness. It is so central to the teaching of Jesus and his church. You know, he said, he told us, you know, many times, really, Matthew 18, Peter asked him, said, Jesus, Lord, how often, if my brother sinned against me, should I forgive him? How many times? Seven times? Jesus said what? I do not say seven times, but I say 70 times seven times. The fullness, you know, the number 7 and 70, these are have biblical significance. And Jesus is saying, let there be no limit to forgive. Why? Because you've been forgiven much, Jesus said. Freely you've received, freely give. You've been forgiven much. He said, those who've been forgiven much love much. Those who've been forgiven much know how desperately they needed forgiveness. And it's those who are quick to extend it. Jesus said, it's so important, forgiveness, that Jesus tied it to the fundamental Christian prayer, our Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. That's a dangerous prayer. Think about that. And the apostles, remember how when Jesus taught the prayer to the apostles, they had watched Jesus pray, and they prayed like most people. When we pray, we usually think about all the things we need or things we're concerned about, our kids, our family, whatever it is, our job, our career, our comforts, our success in this world. We often have those things at the forefront of our minds, and we bring them to God, which is okay to do that. But when they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray, how do you pray? Jesus puts this beautiful, perfect prayer together to orient your heart and mind toward what really, truly matters. Jesus said, if you're going to pray, pray about what matters most. Pray to your Father in heaven that you hallow and honor his name and you see his name honored in the world. Pray that the kingdom would come, right? God's reign, the authority of God, the commandments of God, the love of God, the way of life of God, and the power of the Spirit. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What's his will? That all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus wants us to pray. The Catechism underlines this. He wants us every day to pray for the salvation of the world. Not just the generic, but every single person. Jesus wants us to carry that burden of intercession within our hearts. You know, the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. Wow. Look where the world is. But then he brings us to, you know, pray, forgive us our trespasses, Father. He knows we've sinned and we're sinners, and we're desperately in need of forgiveness. The church stands in the place of calling us and welcoming us like a loving mother, and really welcoming us ultimately into the confessional to receive that sacramental grace of forgiveness. But Jesus said, told us to pray, Father, forgive us as we forgive. A dangerous, dangerous prayer. Tying our forgiveness to our willingness to forgive? Friends, it's hard to forgive because when we're in the flesh, we don't want to forgive. First of all, we don't want to even admit that we've done anything wrong. We usually make excuses. Well, I didn't mean it. We deny it. We avoid it. We manipulate people. Whatever it is, we just don't want to face the reality with honesty. I have sinned. I sinned against this person. I lied about you in the meeting. To your wife, honey, I watched pornography today and took pleasure in it. I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? I don't ever want to do it again. Whatever it is, we hope and expect that people will forgive us. But how slow we are to forgive others. We, in our work in renewal ministries, we call country coordinators, or team members that work in places all around the world, every continent, literally, we've been every continent in the world. And we get together annually, and one of the things I usually ask is, what were the biggest obstacles you saw in people's lives to really advancing the kingdom fruitfully? And time and again, what we hear the same thing is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. People don't want to forgive. Why? Because I've been hurt by somebody. And if I've been hurt, I don't want to let the person off the hook. I don't want a relationship with that person anymore. Or my pride leads me to say, as I was saying earlier, well, I didn't really mean it. It wasn't really that big of a deal. And so we rarely initiate to ask for forgiveness. And sometimes when people ask us, how quick are we to say, yes, I forgive you? Well, sometimes it's issues within us. It's fear of acknowledging our own wrongdoing that holds us back because we're ashamed, or we're too proud, or we don't want to look weak to other people, which is really foolish, because Jesus said this is really some of the glue that holds the whole Christian community together. It guards the unity of the Spirit that Paul was talking about here in Romans 8 and the bond of peace. We should be quick to forgive. One of the reasons I think sometimes we don't, you know, seek forgiveness and ask people for forgiveness because we don't really know how. We'll kind of, once we stir up enough determination in us to make it happen and we overcome our fears, we might go to a person and say, hey, I apologize for what happened yesterday. And then the person will often say, that's all right, it's no big deal. But that's not a helpful way to really address what Jesus is talking about. If we've done something, if we've committed wrongdoing, that is, I've done something that objectively harms another, that violates the way the commandments have called me to act in relationship to my neighbor, I need to take responsibility for it. I can't wait it out. I can't just put it under the carpet. You know, all of us have had families in one way or another who lots of pain, lots of brokenness, lots of things happen. And I was just watching last night on 60 Minutes a segment from Patrick Kennedy, the son of Ted Kennedy, who just took this kind of heroic step and came out and talked about his own drug addictions. And he talked about the amount of alcoholism and addiction in their own family and the madness that happens when all kinds of painful things happen. People hurt each other, but never talk about it. Never talk about it, either together or acknowledge any of it in public in any kind of way. And it's a kind of, he called it the sickness of silence. There's fear can dominate. And what the Lord wants us to be able to do is to be right out there with those we've harmed and go directly to them in love when the time is right to be able to get reconciled, to be able to seek forgiveness. And sometimes helpful just to know the kind of the steps that Scripture gives us to know how to do that. Step one is just to be honest, to admit my wrongdoing and that I want to take personal responsibility for it. Yes, I have done X. Yes, I lied to you. Yes, I stole this. Yes, I gossiped about you and I damaged your reputation. You know, yes, I violated, you know, my promises to you in some way. So we don't hide it. We don't play games. We're just honest with ourselves. Secondly, renounce it. Renounce the act that we've committed, right? Any pattern or act or attitude in ourselves, we renounce it. I want to change. I want to make a firm decision that I'm not going to do this again. And in the process, we want to be able to cultivate sorrow. Lord, help me understand. Help me understand healthy sorrow for sin. One of the problems is we don't think it's a big deal. Don't worry about it. Or he deserved it or whatever it might be. We avoid facing the actual reality of the seriousness of sin. It's serious because it crucified Jesus Christ on the cross, number one. That's how serious sin is. But it also damages our brother, damages me, because I did it, damages my brother or sister whom I've harmed, and damages the whole body of Christ, because we're there together in the body. And so we want to make a firm decision. I simply don't want to do that again. And not be filled with self-condemnation, despair, self-hatred. Don't be surprised. I mean, a friend of mine often says that, he said, here's one sentence that God has never said about any of us. I can't believe you did that. It's no surprise to God that we sin because of our weakness. So he doesn't condemn us. We need to have a healthy sense of sorrow. Just have a few seconds here, so I'm going to kind of whip through this. So the third step, so it's first honesty, renunciation, then reconciliation, actually asking for forgiveness. To be able to say, number one, to a person, what I did to you was wrong. I lied to you. I will stop behaving in that way towards you. I don't ever want to do that again. Will you please forgive me? I sinned against you. This is what I did. I don't ever want to do it again. Will you please forgive me? And then as brothers and sisters, we need to extend forgiveness. Doesn't mean we have to put ourselves in a position of harm, but we have to extend forgiveness because Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give forgiveness. We talk more about it next week on the details around it, but it's worth holding that in our heart and walking in the Spirit who's leading us to seek reconciliation. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. 4789.